guest on our program today is Sue Gehling. And Sue has started a program called Classroom Clinic. And she's got a, let's just put it this way, a mental health background, a healthcare background. And Sue, first of all, thanks for taking time visiting with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Jim. I really appreciate it.
For those that don't know, Sue is from Carroll, out in the Carroll area. And you were in healthcare out there first, originally, weren't you?
Well, absolutely, yes. So I've been in the healthcare field for over 30 years and continued to, receive additional education. And I'm actually now a psychiatric nurse practitioner. And from that has really led me to understanding our state's mental health system, particularly for children, and having a completely different perspective of what it's like for families trying to access care.
I know that one of the things, and you started a Classroom Clinic, folks. This is not really a new program. A lot of people might just be hearing about it for the first time. But what, you're 5-6 years now you've been doing
correct.
This?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So I'm actually from Carroll. Grew up in Manning, but been in Carroll County my entire life, and was practicing as a psychiatric nurse practitioner in the Carroll area. And like I said, children's mental health is really my passion. So I was seeing a lot of children, struggling, listening, to the stories that these families, were sharing with me in terms of how difficult it was to find me, how difficult it was to find any help, how many struggles they were having at the schools, and just, an incredible amount of frustration. I kind of got overwhelmed, to be honest, with all of the unfortunate series of events and situations that so many families were dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I thought, it shouldn't be this way. It really shouldn't be this hard. And one night after, a particularly tough day at work, one night I just kind of realized, hey, you know what? The Calvary's not coming. It just dawned on me, the Calvary's not coming out here, particularly to rural Iowa. And we're in the trenches doing this work. We live in the same communities as these families that we're serving. And if it just dawned on me, if I didn't do something to help my families, then who would? Mm-hmm. And so that's really what motivated me to turn the hat. I was wearing the hat as a healthcare provider, and I really decided to become more of an advocate for families. And I really felt the urge to do something, right?
Yeah.
To create something, to do something to help these people and to help so many families who are struggling. And that's where I had this idea, what if I started a school-based telehealth business, right? Well, I could, because I work so collaboratively with schools. Schools are identifying kids who are struggling, both sure. academically, behaviorally, socially, but they don't have anywhere to refer families to. And there's just a big disconnect between the education system and the mental health system. And so I really felt like if we could all collaborate as a team within the schools, and if I could bring the services to the schools, which is the least restrictive and most normative environment for kids, is like right there in the schools, we reduce the stigma. And if we bring those specialized services to where the families live, then we've removed the barriers and the obstacles, and families can get the help they need in a timely and convenient fashion. And so I actually started thinking about this back in 2018. And I spent a whole year kind of working on this business plan and refining it and talking to over 100 school administrators, school nurses, therapists, school counselors, really trying to get every angle possible to understand what are the pain points that school staff are feeling. Because to be honest, I believe that our school systems have really essentially become the de facto mental health system for kids. And so I really felt like the schools were having a crisis as well. And how could we really help resolve a lot of these issues if we just created a new solution? And so I spent about a year working on that business plan. And then in 2019, in the fall, I piloted it with one school district to start with, which was Greene County School, which is just down the road,
yeah.
On Highway 30 there from Boone. And so we started in Greene County. And then Peyton Jordan heard about it, and the Peyton Jordan School joined us. And this was all before COVID. So we were doing this even before it was like, you know, the thing to do. And then COVID hit, which gave us or gave me an opportunity to really kind of take a step back and recognize, hey, this is working well. This is not working well. What else can we do to make it better? How else can we spread and serve more kids? And then from there, we've just have continued to refine it and make things better, add additional services to where we're at today.
You know, when you mentioned 2018, and I can remember a year or so before that when our superintendents locally would sit down with the legislators. And, you know, legislators were always, they're just going to ask for more money. And I think probably the biggest shock they got that year, probably in 16, maybe around that time, 2016, was we need help with mental health.
We need help.
And then the question was, well, how do we do that? And, of course, the legislature wants to know, well, what's causing it and stuff like that.
Right.
It's an issue out there in rural areas, you said, starting out in the rural areas. So as you've expanded.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, you know, the one thing about mental health issues is that it doesn't discriminate, right?
Nope.
I mean, they're present in both rural communities and urban communities. But like everything else, in rural communities, it's just that much more difficult because there's not as many services. There's not as many specialty providers. There's just longer distances for families to travel. You know, the employers in rural communities don't have the same family-friendly policies that perhaps, you know, the insurance industries in an urban community would have, you know, so it's more difficult for families to get off work to take their child to a specialist. And so it is much more difficult in rural communities. But to be honest, mental health is like I said, it doesn't discriminate. It's also an issue in urban schools and urban communities as well.
And it's all over. We have those issues. And I know even like through the hospital, telehealth with psychiatric care is that's one of the things they have to go to because we don't have that many providers.
Exactly.
So as you were refining this and coming forward, and I don't know how your structure is now. That's kind of, did you just start it first by yourself doing service?
Yes.
Or?
Me, myself, and I, because I didn't know any different. I just really wanted to do, you know, I was just so motivated to do something because of the patients that I was serving. And I just felt like I had to be an advocate and try, you know. I had to try, Jim, to do something. So I started with just myself, and I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner, so we provided medication management services. So we were providing access to these services to the schools that I was working with. And, gradually started adding, you know, a couple of more schools, year two and year three. And then it became apparent we also need to have additional therapists available. Because some schools have school counselors or they have some community-based therapists that come into the schools in person, but it's just not enough capacity. And so what we've really decided is that Classroom Clinic is a gap-filling service, right? So we are not going into or collaborating with the school district and trying to duplicate anything that they already have. We're not trying to replicate or take over any of the services that they already have. We're trying to provide what's missing, that gap that's missing. And that's access to specialized child psychiatry services, and it's also increased capacity for therapy services. So that's really how we kind of try to, you know, collaborate. We're that missing piece of the puzzle that so many districts just don't have available in their communities.
It's the next higher level that we don't have.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I know, and I know locally that we do and have shared through one of our providers, Youth and Shelter Services, YSS, with the school district. They have counselors, and they've hired some people to help do that kind of counseling. But again, that's not at the level you're talking about. You're talking more in psychiatric help.
Right. Well, kind of both.
Yeah.
So, like, YSS does have some therapists that go into different school districts that they work with, but it's just not enough. Right. We just don't have enough providers. And so they're overwhelmed. They don't have the capacity. So we would provide that backfill, you know, for that therapy service. But they're not providing access to the medication managers or the child psychiatrist, you know. And so we also offer that. And that is really, you know, about 5% of all the kids that we serve, or excuse me, 5% of all the kids in the school district, that's 5 to 10%. Those are the ones that really need access to that specialty level of care.
You know, right now we're hearing, and I hear, is that even what's going on locally and stuff like that from some of the schools. Obviously, well, we know the big thing around the state is the chronic absenteeism that they are pursuing.
Right.
And some of the students have difficulties or dropping out or tuning out, if you will. And then there's always bullying and that kind of thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
So these are opportunities to, I mean, help in a lot of these areas that they're dealing with day to day.
Right. And you're correct, Jim. Chronic absenteeism is a growing problem, you know, in Iowa. And, I mean, it's exacerbated after COVID, right? I mean,
Sure. That's
always been an issue. But with COVID, then it's just much, much worse. But, you know, the question is, why are these kids not going to school, or why can't we keep them in school? And it's really, it's a complicated answer. You know, a lot of families, a lot of kids might be struggling with some anxiety, you know, related to other issues going on in their family life. And being in a setting where there's lots of other kids, or it's loud and it's noisy, you know, those are triggers, and it's difficult for them to go into that building. And so I see a lot of kids that have that issue. And so they skip school, or they'll go to the nurse's office because they have a headache or a stomach ache. You know, those other somatic complaints where the really underlying issue is anxiety. So we've got that contributing to chronic absenteeism. You know, just all of the different social issues that you know, are present in our communities. Like, believe it or not, there's still some families that don't have reliable transportation or vehicles, and you know, all of those things make it difficult to really be able to meet the needs of their child when they're having difficulties meeting basic needs for their family.
Sure. Our guest is Sue Galing. She has started Classroom Clinic several years ago now. Well, several. Yeah, okay. We'll go with that. A number of years ago. It continues to expand and grow. So one of the things I know you did mention on medications, things like that. Now, that is something that, how is that handled? People are going to wonder, does my insurance cover this? What do I do? How does this work out?
Right. So we're providing clinic services just like if you were to go to a brick and mortar, you know, building, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that we're trying to remove all the barriers. We're trying to remove the stigma. We're trying to make it timely and convenient for families to access. But it's still a medical appointment, whether it's therapy or whether it's a psychiatric evaluation or medication management. So we do bill their insurance. Just like if you were going into a doctor's office, right? Only we're just doing all this remotely. Now, the majority of kids that we see actually have Medicaid, and there's a very high child poverty rate across the state. You know, in your rural school districts particularly, we'll be able to tell you, you know, our free and reduced lunch percentage rate is like 40, 45, 55%. And that's an indicator of the poverty level, you know, that families are living in.
Sure.
And child poverty is actually, you know, contributing a risk factor developing mental health issues later on. So when we have a pocket of kids who have Medicaid insurance, and we have limited number of mental health providers, and we know Medicaid reimbursement is much less than like commercial insurance. As a result, a lot of mental health providers just refuse to accept Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
right? Because to
sure.
keep the doors open, you got to be able to collect enough of the insurance to pay the bills.
Yep.
So what happens then is all these kids that have Medicaid insurance, they just get, you know, less and less access because there's less and less providers who will accept their insurance. So to answer your question, Jim, yes, it's just like a doctor's appointment or clinic appointment. We bill their insurance. Families have to provide consent. Everything is handled the same way as if in person, only it's all done remotely. They fill out paperwork and forms mm-hmm. that are sent to their phone, and we send text reminders. But in the end, we're really providing that gap-filling service to so many of these underserved families who, you know, no sure. fault of this child. You know, these children are on Medicaid, and they just don't have the same access that other families have. So about 70% of all the families that we serve end up having Medicaid. Now, of course, we bill Medicaid,
sure.
But we're really trying to We're a private company really trying to provide a critical need and a critical service, you know, that's really missing right now in our healthcare system in Iowa.
So as you started, again, a number of years ago, Jefferson over there at Greene County and Peyton Sherdan, how many different schools are you working through right now? How do you do it at summertime, I guess? You got all of those things.
Right. So we have right now a little over 40 schools across the state that we're providing services to. So right here, you know, when there's Greene County, Peyton Sherdan, Spencer, Spirit Lake, Storm Lake, Emmitsburg, Albert City, Truesdale, Westwood, up north, Lake Mills, down south, Greenfield. We're over in eastern Iowa in a lot of communities along the Mississippi River. We're in Winterset, you know, so we're just all over. And in those approximately 40 schools, we are providing access to over 40,000 students now. Now, we're not serving all of them, but we're now providing access to these specialized services that these kids never had access before. You know, so if they needed to get help, that help is available in their through their school system. So yeah, we're really filling a gap. We're really providing a solution for the school mental health crisis. We're providing earlier identification, earlier treatment, you know, in collaboration with schools. And what our vision really is that all kids in Iowa have equitable access to mental health, these mental health services. And so that's really what is one of our mission. We're a mission-driven kind of organization as well, and we believe that every child deserves the opportunity to be successful, and to do that, they should have equitable access to mental health services.
So you've been doing it for a number of years now, I'm guessing. Had some good success stories and some people... I'm guessing the bottom line would be, would they be able to get out of the program? Would they be treated well enough to move on? And some, it lifts also a stigma that down the road, should they need assistance, they know what they can expect.
Right. And you mentioned, you know, summer services too, Jim. Yeah. Of course, we provide summer services. For a lot of families, you know, or the children, you know, some of their concerns are triggered during the school year, and if they've met their goals, then they would be discharged before the summer. Other kids need to continue receiving therapy over the summer, and we would provide that. We collaborate with the school so the kids can come to the school building during the summer. And then, of course, the kids that are receiving medicines, if they're stable, we normally are following up with them every 2 to 3 months. You know, so we just kind of coordinate those appointments. We see them in May. And then, you know, provide the refills over the summer and then see them again starting in August. But the entire time, families can always reach our providers and can always reach our care coordinators. So it's not like we shut down for the summer. We're still available.
It was like you said, when it all of a sudden came up, the Calvary's not coming. Well, you know, we're trying to help the Calvary. We are trying to get that assistance out there, that service out there. Yeah, we're not going to just forget you in the summertime.
Exactly.
Again, Sue Gehling's been our guest on our program today. It's called Classroom Clinic. Now, obviously, we want to find out. I know some schools have been aware of it. Do parents ask at the schools, what kind? Have you talked to these people, that kind of thing? How do they get?
Right. So if there's a family who's interested in learning more about this, They can reach out to their school administration to see if this service is already available in their school district. And if it's not, if that's something, you know, that they would like to, you know, bring to the attention of their school administration, you know, by all means, we know that there's a lot of parent advocates out there who are willing to, you know, do whatever it takes to provide, to get their children the help they need. And sometimes it means just presenting this information to the school board or to the school administration and say, hey, is this something our district can also look at? You know, I see it spreading across the state and these other districts. Is that something that, you know, our district, you know, might be able to, you know, also work with this organization on? So families can do that as well. So for the school districts that we are working with, information is shared with families in the district, you know, that the service is available. But a lot of times, the schools are already talking to families, or school staff are already talking to families about their student who may be struggling. Mm-hmm. You know, say that the teacher during parent-teacher conference is recognizing, hey, you know, your child is really struggling paying attention, or they're really disruptive and they're not learning, and we've tried all these other interventions. You know, maybe, you know, you should consider, you know, like having them evaluated medically, or, you know, something
sure.
more. And so that's a common conversation, starts with the teacher. And then, you know, the parents are given resources on, hey, we, you know, here's some resources in our community. And, hey, you know, we actually have this one service available right through the district that we can facilitate the referral for you. Other times there are some students who, you know, are having such behavioral issues that maybe they're, you know, like having suspensions or in-school suspensions. Mm-hmm. Or there's, you know, concerns like that where the school is saying, hey, you know, I think we better really address this and look at, you know, recommending or encouraging your family or your child to have a mental health evaluation to see if there's something more going on here. Sometimes a school nurse recognizes that there's a student who is in the school nurse's office all the time complaining of headaches and stomach aches. You know, that's a big indicator of underlying anxiety. So the school nurse may be having conversations with the family saying, hey, what's going on? Why are they here all the time? Is there something more? Mm-hmm. You know, so yep. The majority of kids that are referred to us are because these are kids that the school is already identifying and collaborating with families about, but now they have a resource to refer them to.
So as you started this again, and when we started talking, you know, it was one of those things where you said there needs to be a way to do more. This is, you got to feel pretty comfortable about the way it's going and would like it to continue to grow and expand and be that
Absolutely.
Stop. Sue Gehling's been our guest. Yeah.
Yep.
Sue, I do appreciate you taking time. Before we run out of time, I do want to thank you for visiting with us, letting us know about the program. And again, it's pretty exciting when you have something, an idea like this, and you're able to build it to where you're at today and how much further can you go.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it is very rewarding because I said, you know, this is what motivated me. It's helping families. You know, that's what's really motivated me to do this, is to create some change, because I felt like I was helpless otherwise. Even though I was already, you know, providing, you know, mental health care, I just felt like it wasn't enough. You know, this problem is so big, we got to do more. And the people who are working in the trenches often have the answers, but we're not the ones who are, you know, stepping up and taking the risk like I did and actually trying to, you know, start a company, you know. And now we have over 30 providers and 30 people working for us and people across the state. And, it's really, I think, a movement, and it's transformative. And I hope, you know, we do have growth plans, and we hope that we are able to make this available in all the school districts across Iowa.
It's called Classroom Clinic. And do you have a website?
Yes, actually, it's www.classroomclinic.com.
Pretty easy to do. Sue Gehling, thanks so much for being our guest on our program.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Jim.